Welcome to the Change Your World Virtual Summit, brought to you today by the Public Speakers Association. I'm so excited to introduce to you Ms. Lenny London. Lenny, why don't you take it from here?
Thank you, Tanya. And I so appreciate that introduction, and I'm so happy to be here and thank all of you who are on this call with us. I have shared this talk before. I've given this talk here before a couple months ago, and I just finished doing a workshop where the second half of the workshop addresses the talk I'm going to give you, and I'll have to condense it. I'll work on condensing this because I'm giving you information that could take me an hour to an hour and a half to share. Starting with the premise that the title of my talk, there is only love, and how so many people don't recognize this, and they don't recognize where and how they actually are loving themselves much more than they think they are. We get such mixed messages. And to start with, it deals with how we deal with our emotions, which I will also tie in towards the end of my talk, how it also applies to every person and circumstance that we encounter in our life. So I'm going to start with our emotions. There's such a strong value in our culture to not feel the difficult emotions, the pain, the fear. It's a widespread value. In fact, I would invite those of you who would like to, when it's time to raise your hand at the end and ask questions, to share with me if that's been your experience as well. From my experience, the spiritual teachers and motivational teachers, everywhere I go, the best teachers in the world, and I love them all so much, send out the strong message, and our parents and our school system and churches, this message is, oh, don't feel pain, don't feel afraid, don't feel the fear. And I would ask to start with, given that evidently since the beginning of humans' experience on this planet, all humans have been imbued with this whole range of emotions, which include feeling pain and feeling fear. And from what I can tell, it seems like most species of animals also have these emotions, have a whole range of emotions. If this is the case, why would we all be imbued with all these emotions if we're not supposed to feel them, if they don't have some kind of a purpose? And so I'm going to go on and make a case for the purpose they have and how they are actually expressions of love. And I ask, to begin with, how disjointed our society is when we want to disconnect from a whole range of these emotions that actually not only are they expressions of love, they serve to keep us on track, to keep us from taking our lives into a ditch or from letting others take us into a ditch. So I'm going to start with a summary of the healing process itself, or the process of experiencing emotions. In order for us to experience emotions at all, there's chemicals produced in the brain. We have three basic or primary chemicals that produce every emotion we experience. Just like there's three primary colors that produce every color that we see. You have blue, yellow, and red. I believe it's a mix of those colors that produce every color we see. Well, it's a mix of uppers, feel-good, happy chemicals, downers, feel sad chemicals, and adrenaline, which is essentially speed, that our body will produce. Our brain is a pharmaceutical lab or a meth lab, and it produces these chemicals. And the effects of how we feel these emotions is similar to how drugs, the street drugs that are, you have uppers, you have downers, you have speed, that are street drugs. We process them both the same. We release these chemicals in our brain, into the fluids in our brain, and they float around, and they get picked up by receptors and interpreted. And so then we experience an emotion. Then they're released back into the fluids and picked up by the bloodstream, and they course through our body. And then when everything is working right and when it's not shut down, these chemicals are absorbed by the cells, and the cells will metabolize and essentially neutralize these chemicals, and they get released from the body. And like I said, this process applies whether it's brain-produced chemicals, drugs, or street drugs. The process is the same. When it's our emotions, the chemicals that are produced that cause us to feel the emotions, the uppers, the downers, and the adrenaline, which is speed, and when that is released, there's also steroids released behind it. When we experience those, well, the receptors pick them up, we experience emotions, they're released, and then they go through the bloodstream and are eliminated. The you know, emotions, they move when we allow the process. Whatever emotion you experience, when you experience it, they will move through you and you release them if you allow the process. The problem is in our culture, we don't allow this process. Even the most loving parents will tell a child, oh, don't cry, don't cry. Or tell us, don't be afraid, don't be afraid. And for most of us, we realize when someone tells us not to, when we're feeling this stuff, there's an initial reaction of, something is wrong. Because we intuitively know that these emotions have a purpose. And emotions, again, they move if we allow ourselves to feel them. I propose that we talk ourselves into our emotions. And we say, oh, my gosh, I'm feeling sad, and allow ourselves to fully feel that. And we talk our loved one into the emotions and say, oh, I can see you're feeling sad, and I can understand what you're experiencing is sad. And validate them. Because what happens with children when they're told, don't feel this, we, the adults, are the child's God. And they think then in that moment, oh, I'm not supposed to feel this. There must be something wrong with me. And even as adults, when people say, oh, don't feel what you're feeling, we don't feel validated. And a key to emotional health is to be validated. So when we can acknowledge and experience our emotions, when we stop and listen, that's healing and that's release. I'm kind of jumping out of myself. When we fully feel them, they will move through us. They'll go through the system, and they'll be released. And they're there to give us information. I'm going to come into that and what that information is for here in a minute. But that's the healing process. That's the release process. But what happens when that child, and when we're told, don't feel that, we shut down the process. And when we shut down the process, the chemicals, instead of being absorbed by the cells, they get absorbed into our tissues because we shut down the process. So then throughout our life, we are accumulating these chemicals in our tissues and in our bones, and we carry them and we accumulate more and more and more. And then what happens once we are adults, and sometimes, especially for a child, an emotion is just too big for them and they shut it down. But then when we're adults, we're going to find you can be in a room with 1,000 people and you're going to zero in on that one person who's going to re-injure you the way you were injured as a child. And in order to siphon that up so you can release it, because your subconscious knows that this grudge you're carrying is toxic, and in time it can break down tissues and disease can develop. So you will pick that one person once you're an adult and you can handle these emotions, theoretically, you'll pick the person who's going to trigger that. Because the way that works is kind of like how when we used to have water beds and we filled them with a water hose, when we wanted to empty them later, we would run the hose in, run new water in, and then we'd have to run out, unplug the hose after we turn it off, and the new water will come out, and right behind it, the old water comes out. So when you encounter that new person now who shows up in your life and they hurt you, and you feel, if you can allow yourself to fully feel that hurt, it will tap into any old hurt you're carrying that are associated with it. And you'll release it. If you can allow yourself to fully feel it, then you will release it. Where as a child, you most likely had that shut down. And throughout your life, you continue to shut that down. But we don't do that. Instead, what we do, in order to siphon that out, you have to go and plug from the hose. But we find this person who triggers that hurt by being hurtful to us, and we don't unplug from them. We stay plugged into them. And we continue to shut down our feelings while we continue to tell ourselves how hurtful and awful they were. Or the situation is. So now we're just adding. Instead, what we do is we go, not only do we not unplug from the faucet, we go turn it up higher. And we just keep filling ourselves up with more hurt. It's necessary to allow yourself to heal when hurt is triggered, to just unplug from that person or situation and dive into your emotions, which I'm going to guide you through here in just a minute. But before I guide you into how to dive into those emotions, I'm going to talk about how those emotions are really love. When you step on glass, if somebody steps on glass, it hurts. And it hurts. People say, yeah, because nerve endings are cut and whatnot. But it doesn't belong there. The pain is there to let you know, hey, there's something there that doesn't belong there. people with diabetes have come and told me, yeah, my doctor tells me to keep checking my feet because I might not feel that pain. And if you have glass in your foot and you don't know it, it can get infected, gangrene can set in, you can even die. That pain is there to let you know, hey, something is there that does not belong there. I've had a tooth infection not too long ago, and it really, really hurt. The pain let me know, hey, there's a problem. If I didn't know, if I had nothing to indicate there's an infection, that infection could spread, it could get into my brain, and I could simply end up dying. The pain there tells me, oh, there's something wrong. I can go do something about it and get on antibiotics, which I did. So the pain is there, emotional pain. When we picked up beliefs about ourselves when we were a child, and most children pick up negative beliefs about themselves, I'm not lovable, I'm not good enough, those beliefs hurt, and they hurt because they do not belong there. There is no such thing as not good enough. There's no power that be that when children are born into this world that deems, oh, this child's good enough, this one isn't, this one's lovable, this one isn't. We get those ideas as children from perceiving the environment and sometimes from being parented by parents who have shards of glass themselves, who themselves believe they're not good enough and not lovable. And we end up stepping on that glass because they're operating from it. And we get it, and those ideas about ourselves, and those ideas hurt. So then we pick somebody when we're an adult who treats us like we're not good enough. And it's actually not that they're treating, not what they're doing that's causing the pain. It's that we believe we're not good enough to begin with. We have that belief that causes the pain. Now, there are some people who are kind of getting this, and they'll say, well, I didn't hurt you. You hurt yourself. It's in you that hurt you. It doesn't mean they're not being hurtful. And you will feel pain if someone's being hurtful, because that pain is there to say, hey, it's not okay for them to be hurtful. However, if it's a really deep, sharp pain, the chances are, and then you could be feeling pain for both reasons, the chances are, though, if them being treating you like you don't matter, you're not good enough, it's really hurting you, the original, the deepest pain is, they jiggled that glass, I'm not good enough, I'm not lovable, and that's what's causing you the most pain. And the way you find out which one it is it that I'm not good enough, or is it that, hey, it's not okay for them to treat me this way, is when you feel that pain, you breathe in, and you find it in your body, and you relax into it, and you listen to it. And you might hear either, I'm not good enough, or you might hear, hey, it's not okay for them to treat me that way. And if you hear, I'm not good enough, then you would correct that. You have a conversation and correct that and say, wait a minute, there's no such thing as not good enough. If they say it's not okay for them to treat me that way, you will confirm that. It's not okay for someone to be unkind to me. And the cool thing is when you're confirming that, you're programming in your brain, I deserve to be treated well. I deserve to be respected. So you deeply, fully feel what you're feeling, and you breathe into it, and you drop, you keep your eyes closed to keep your focus within. And you listen. Very often people initially will go to a childhood event where that original pain occurred. And then you just have a discussion with that child. You look at that child, you tell that inner child how much you love him or her, and you correct any misconceptions, and you embrace that child, and you just fill that child up with love. And I do those sessions. I guide people through those sessions over the phone to tap into these emotions to heal these ideas that we picked up about ourselves, or to confirm those ideas when the pain is saying, hey, it's not okay, and then what to do about it after that. Now, if it's fear gets triggered, you do the same thing as far as you dive into that fear and you listen to it. And you go to worst case scenario, and then you say, okay, well, if that happens, this is what I will do. And then you negotiate with the fear to come up with how you can protect yourself from that happening. And once you've done that, and sometimes it's misguided fear, so you can do a corrective discussion there. And so you talk about, well, but if that did happen, this is what I would do, and this is what I'll do to help prevent that from happening. So These are discussions, like I said, I'm going to guide you through this in just a moment. And before I do, I want to ask you to think about this. If you can follow what I just said, if you could see where pain is there to let you know there's a problem, you either have a shard of glass. Physically, you either have a glass in your foot or the infection or there's something wrong. Emotionally, you either have a belief that just does not belong there. or there's something going on that's not okay. Somebody's treating you in a way that's not okay. If you can see that pain is there to let you know that there's a problem, that there's something wrong. And if you can see that fear, I ask people, well, fear has one intent and purpose, and what is it? And a lot of people will say to trip me up, to slow me down, to stop me. And in reality, fear is there to keep you safe. And it will do so, it will see to this at all, no matter what. It will go to whatever lengths to keep you safe, emotionally and physically. And if you can see fear is there solely to keep you safe emotionally and physically, and pain is there to let you know there is a problem, can you see then that fear and pain is actually you loving you? It's actually the same stuff, just like water. When it's frozen, it's ice and it's hard, and when it's boiled, it's steam, and it doesn't look like the same stuff, but it's the same stuff at a different vibration, a different frequency. Fear and pain is love at a different, harder, lower, denser vibration. And when you shower that higher vibration that we associate with love and gratitude onto that fear, you literally shift it, you melt it, and you raise it into that vibration, and you change your state in the process when you recognize fear and pain for the love that it is. So I'm going to invite you to take a moment. And, you know, the same thing applies because you've stored up these chemicals in your tissues, and it manifests sometimes as illness and aches and pains. So if, when you do this process right now, if you tap into physical pain and listen, you can get some good information as well. So if you can, just get as comfortable as you can right now and take in a deep breath and relax and feel yourself completely supported by the seat that you're in. And take another deep breath in and let it out slowly and release all the tension. And one more deep breath as you sink into and find any distress that you've been carrying with you. Tap into any fear. Keep your eyes closed and look within. And tap into any fear or any pain or any physical discomfort. And focus fully on this discomfort. Breathe into it and keeping your eyes closed. Once you've found it, the physical pain, emotional pain, fear, feel it expand. Feel it get bigger and bigger as you drop your conscious awareness down into the emotion. And just look around and see and notice, is this a new feeling or is this an old and familiar feeling? Just drop your attention down and float around in this discomfort and listen. And notice where it takes you. Notice any thoughts. Notice any images. If it takes you back to a childhood experience, just interact with that child and just feel love for that child. If a thought comes to you that's any negative perception of yourself, correct that. Just let that self know, hey, there's no such thing as not good enough. There's no such thing as not lovable. If it's a thought that, oh, some situation is just not okay, it's not okay, confirm that. No, that isn't okay. If fear is up for you, go to worst case scenario. What would you do if the worst thing happened? And what would you do then? And what can you do to prevent this worst case scenario from happening? If it's physical pain, just listen. Just listen. There may very well be some powerful information there for you about how you do life, about what's going on. Just fully feel this and expand this and breathe into it. And then look at the discomfort and see it for the love that it is and appreciate it for its purpose of attempting to serve you and give you information. And breathe into it and just feel the love and gratitude for this emotion, for this distress. And relax into it. And notice as you're relaxing into it, you're releasing. You're releasing it. And you're raising it and it's shifting to that higher vibration of love and appreciation as you see how it's you attempting to serve you and take care of you and look out for you and keep you on track. And feeling filled with love. You bring your attention back to your body in the seat. And when you're ready, you can open your eyes. And you realize now how those people and situations in your life who have come to activate the shards of glass are there to serve you. They're there, as painful as they may seem, and humble as they may seem to be, as difficult as those situations may seem. There are all opportunities for you to become more aware, to advance yourself. On some level, they are there to serve you. And if you are struggling to figure out how, when, and where this is the case, I will offer everyone on this call a 20% discount on my rates. Just go to my website, www.lifemasteryfoundation.org, and send me an email. Or you can email me directly, Lenny@lifemasteryfoundation.org, O-R-G, or just call me, 512-413-2933, and say you are on this conference call, and you'll get a 20% discount off of my rates. And I'm going to give you the original rates since I haven't put my new rates up. I'm going to give you the rates of $90, and you can take 20% off that, and I will guide you if you have hands-free. I can work with you on Skype or guide you through personally. And also, please go to the website and sign up for my newsletter. It's a monthly newsletter, and I will keep you updated when I offer these courses online and in person. And I'm going to wrap up with explaining how to do this with children. When a child is distressed, the first thing you do is you validate the child. Yes, I can see how that's distressing. Then you ask the child, well, where do you feel that? And they'll point sometimes to some spot on their arm or their nose. And then you say, how big is that? And they'll demonstrate with their hands. They'll show you with their hands how big it is. And then you go, wow, and validate again. That's pretty big. And I can see how you would feel that way. And then you ask the child, now you know you're loved. And the child will say yes, usually will say yes. And where do you feel that love? You know, mommy loves you, daddy loves you, I love you, you love mommy, you love daddy. Where do you feel that love? And the child points to their heart. How big is that love? And the child will indicate, usually huge. And in that instant, the child's state has changed. It is amazing. Their state changes in that instant. And then you say, okay, now what can you do about this problem? And the child, they are so good. You let them come up with their solutions. And you say, great idea. If they come up with a solution that may not be such a great idea, then you say, well, what would happen if you did that? If they missed one that you think is a great idea, then you say, well, what would happen if you do this? You want to teach the child how to think and do their own problem solving. Now, if a child was raised with this consistently throughout their life, could you imagine what their life would be like as an adult? Because not only would they know how to deal with any emotion that they experience and all emotions they experience, they would deal with any challenge life brings with this backdrop of, I am loved, and they would be expert problem solvers. And to fully teach a child to do this, won't you do it so much better if you do this yourself? And I'm here to tell you, I have healed from practicing this now religiously, diligently for 2 years. I have healed family of origin wounds that I had carried and attempted to heal for 3 decades. In the last 2 years, I have healed so much. And there's still more healing to do. And as I continue practicing this, I call it the SET process. Shift your emotions and your energy and your thinking. This is the process that you shift your emotions and your energy and your thoughts. And you go to the hard drive and literally change your beliefs on the hard drive. When you dive through those emotions, which are the firewall around your digital computer brain where these beliefs are stored, and you literally change them on the hard drive. And I so hope that you found that you were able to do some release with that brief exercise we did, and that this makes sense to you, and you'll jump on this bandwagon to help teach people how valuable all emotions are. And how, see, it's acting from them. You don't want to act from them. When we act from our hurt, when we act from our fear, oh, we behave badly. And it's almost impossible not to behave badly when we're in hurt or fear. But when we behave from feeling loved and from feeling at peace and feeling good about ourselves and good about life, we can't behave badly. So just remember, anyone who's behaving badly in your world, it's because they're in pain. And they activate your pain, and then you tend to behave badly back, and we start throwing hand grenades at each other. If you can learn to do this step process, step away, unplug from them, and then breathe in and do the process, and then come up with how can you address them from a place of love, where you don't cause more injury to them. And think, with if you can heal all the stuff you've been carrying, and I'm seeing so much healing happening, I believe that practice diligently and regularly in time, we can be healed. And then we can be a healing force in the world instead of reactive and re-injuring people who are injured, emotionally injured, and acting from their woundedness. So, no, we don't want to act from the pain. We don't want to act from our fear. We want to dive into it, access it, get the information, correct or confirm, go to worst-case scenario and negotiate with ourselves and have full love and appreciation. And hopefully you can see now how you have all along truly loved yourself more than you thought you did, and the universe loves you more than you think it does. And thank you for being with us.